This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world, the station of the stars.
Welcome back to Postcards from Poprad, ladies and gentlemen. We've lost Rachel, Bot Pants, Brunsden, gosh knows where she's gone. But we have the delectable Petra here.
Yeah, you just have to cope with me now.
Yeah, and she keeps the blood going, I tell you. The whole premise of this show was supposed to be that Petra and Rachel were going to have a go at me. That's because I am a manly man and they are womanly women, right? And we were supposed to have, but we can't. And one of the main stories that I put on here, because I think it is a woman's story, it'd be interesting to know what a woman's eye view of it is. And that's the story about Princess Diana has reared its head again. And it's reared its head again in the Daily Express, one of the most august news organs in the UK. And there are two stories which, in my mind, should be kept going. And one is the disappearance of the little girl, Madeleine McCann, who disappeared from a villa in Portugal. I can't even remember how long ago now. And all the papers went insane about that story for years and years and years. And now it seems to be forgotten about. Petra just said before we came back on the air that it's been dropped in Central Europe and in Slovakia. And I think that story should continue because there is no indication that this child has vanished off the face of this earth. It's just that she's been spirited away. And I think it's the job of newspapers to carry on and find and finally get to the truth. And I think the other story is the story of how Princess Diana did shuffle off this mortal coil. Was she killed or was it an accident? There's too much evidence about for it to be forgotten about. And if in fact she was murdered, then really somebody should be brought to task. And to get to the point I was trying to make, there is only one newspaper that's continued to chase it up, and that's the Daily Express. And they brought up the story again. And they're saying that the SAS came up with information came from the SAS, which brought the story back into the public domain. And now the SAS have launched an internal inquiry into the fact that the elite regiment, the SAS itself, was behind the death of Princess Diana. And okay, it was an SAS sniper who sent a letter about this. Now, whether the SAS were involved, I can't actually see how the SAS would be involved in this. But why would somebody in the SAS make a claim like that? That's an incredible claim to make. And there would have to be powers would have to bring so much weight to bear on an organisation like the armed forces to carry out this act, that it is incredible. And it's also absolutely petrifying to even consider that could have happened. Now, the Diana story, to me, is one of the most dramatic and almost Hollywood-like stories, true stories, to hit this and the last century. And Petra, you were telling me that when Diana's funeral happened, you were actually, where were you?
In Austria, in Salzburg.
And what were you doing there?
Just holiday.
and what did you do? You stopped to watch?
Well, we were actually in one of the coffee shops, and, you know, it was really sad because all the bells in churches started to ring, and it was just sad, I would say, because she really was a nice lady, and everybody, I think, I can't say everybody liked her.
Uh-huh. And why do you think everybody likes her? What was the qualities that she had that made the world like her?
I think mostly was the kindness. You know, wherever she went, it was the warmness coming out of her, and wherever she went, she wasn't afraid of poor people, ill people. She was just very kind and cuddly woman.
And do you view her as a beautiful woman? People say that she was beautiful. I have no great opinion on it. I think she was a very attractive woman. But do you think that the way her life progressed, that the sheer romance of her life was the thing that attracted people to her?
I think being part of the royal family and how she got there was just, you know, a nice story, like a fairy tale. And people were just following, you know, wanted to know what's going to happen next. But on the other side, you know, you're saying that only one newspaper is bringing up stories about her. Being a mother, I don't know how my kids would feel if all the newspapers would just talk about me all the time after my death. You know, it might make them sad. I feel sorry for the boys.
I understand that, but isn't that just part of bereavement? Isn't that something that they go through? And generally, like you say, I think Diana's life was a very sad life. I think she had a great deal of unhappiness. She had all this glamour, and but she also had all this incredible sadness. And to be married to the heir to the throne of England was an incredible thing to happen to somebody so young. And then to have it taken away from her. At a young age. And then for the press, and I must admit, the press did dig the dirt on her quite viciously. And I hold my hands up and say that I was part of that pack who did that at the time. But since she died, I think most stories have been a homage to her life rather than an attack on the peccadilloes that might have coloured the world's view of her.
I think after her death, everybody forgot all the bad stuff it was written about her, and they just remember her as a perfect woman.
That's right. That's right. And how was it viewed? You know, how was the story covered in Slovakia at the time? Did Slovakia go big on it?
It was on every channel we had at that time, and it really like life from the funeral and. It was big, yes.
And he said, how did people feel about the fact that the grand implication behind the stories that she was murdered was that because her lover Dodi Al-Fayed was from a country which we didn't have a lot of time for, and that his father, Al-Fayed, wasn't somebody that this country particularly admired. Do you think that it is remotely possible that something like our royal family could be implicated in something like the murder of this woman? Do you think that is remotely possible?
Just from my side of
view. Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
It does seem an incredible claim. And then for this further claim to come out that the SAS have actually been involved in it as well, I think it's absolutely incredible. I must admit, I think it's a very, very strange thing. And I think because of all these mysteries and because of all these convolutions and all this misinformation, and the fact that it does disrespect our royal family to actually make these kind of claims, that we should really have some kind of proper, honest, straightforward inquiry into her death and see where we can get to. Let's finally get to the truth of what happened to Princess Diana.
Do you think we'll ever get to know what happened?
I personally don't think we will. I think there are a lot of things that have been hidden. I don't accept the stories that Prince Philip was involved in it. I don't accept that Charles was involved. I don't accept that the royal family were involved in it. But something happened. I also don't accept that it was a simple case of the paparazzi accidentally running her off the road. I think that was an easy way to try and explain away this awful experience. I know the paparazzi. I've worked with the paparazzi. The paparazzi Yeah, it could have been a mistake. It could have been an accident. But the paparazzi aren't into the business of doing that. The paparazzi were well known by Diana. They knew her personally. She knew them personally. And she would pose for them. And the paparazzi would accept that there were times when she wanted to be private. I think the attack on her driver as an alcoholic, as a raging alcoholic, that he was drunk. I think all these things do sort of indicate a cover-up. There's the stories about the fact in the hospital that it took so long for the ambulance to get to the hospital. Now, that is something that does happen in France. But all these sort of conspiracy theories make me think that there is a cover-up. But I do not accept it's a cover-up about our royal family.
I think all this stuff about paparazzi was just, taking away the attention from the real thing. And stop drinking.
I had a little sip of water, ladies and
gentlemen. Well, you saying it was water. God knows what it was.
It was the bottle, it wasn't me.
Yeah, but what's in a bottle?
It's one of the best waters you can ever get, and I'm going to advertise on the show now.
No. Best water is what we have here, coming straight from the mountains.
But do you bottle it?
Of course we do.
What's it called?
Just spring water.
Spring water? Well, this is called Vichy spring water. Oh. I don't know why. And that comes from Catalan. It's lovely. It's like, it's got that many minerals in it. It's like thick and gorgeous. Anyway, that's it. Let's move on. Now we're going to miss that story now because that's unfair. Because Rachel's not here. Mm-hmm. I wanted Rachel to react to that story. But here you are. Let's move on to this. Now, I think this is a really good one. If it's not for you, Petra, and I'm going to quiz you to see if it is. Right? It's certainly for my young lady, Andrea. It's actually been proved, right, that being late is actually a real bona fide illness.
Who said that?
I don't know. I wish you hadn't asked me. You're not supposed to ask me things like that. You're supposed to just come up with something to say.
That's just the excuse for being late, is it? Oh, I'm ill. I'm late.
Exactly. Now, there is a bloke, right, that's called Jim Dunbar, and he's late continuous. He's 57 years old, and he's actually late for everything. It's accepted that he's going to be late for work. It's accepted that he's late for his holidays. He's late for meals. He's late for friends. He's late for everything. And he's even been late for funerals that he's had to attend to. He's actually turned up late. And now, this is the truth, ladies and gentlemen, and it'd be lovely to hear somebody's reaction to this, right? He's been to Ninewells Hospital in Dundee, which is in Scotland, and he was actually 20 minutes late for the appointment there as well, we have to say that. And they have diagnosed the fact that he actually suffers from something which they have decided to call, and it's a real medical condition, it's called chronic lateness.
It's bull.
Well, apparently he suffers from it.
You know, if you're late, then just, go somewhere early so you come on time then.
Well, exactly. That's my point of view as well, that actually, if you know you're going to be late for everything, set off a bit earlier or turn your clocks back so you're setting off before you should do.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly what I do. But my young lady, Andrea, is late for everything. She knows exactly what time something's going to happen, and it's like a pathological thing. She will be late. Come what may, she will be late for whatever that event is.
You and see, now, she's ill.
It makes me sick, I tell you. But no, apparently it's part of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, which is whatever that is. And it now has been proven that you actually have this condition, and you will always be able to get away with being late. Now, I think that's terrible.
I have to get such a paper from doctor, so every time I come late for work, I will just show it to Eric. So, see, I've got legal proof I'm sick.
You're not late. You're not late for things.
Yeah, work 5 minutes here and there.
Well, 5 minutes here and there is not so bad.
Nowhere else. Just work.
I have to say, ladies and gentlemen, Petra is actually recording the show for us this week. And so we decided what we'd do. We'll record the show, get hold of Petra, get hold of her, that's fine. She says, yes. I said, are you ready? She said, yes, I'm ready. I'm just finishing my lunch. So we waited. So we're all about, so I said, are you ready? She said, yes, I'm just sorting out my holidays.
No, I wasn't. That was while I was eating. You know, like, women are capable of doing more than one thing at a time. So I was eating, preparing the show, well, yeah, reading about the show, and also looking for somewhere to stay when I go to UK. So if there is anybody who wants to put me up for 2-3 nights, here I am.
And then we wrote to her again. So, you ready? And she said, no, just doing my nails.
No, it was not.
Right, let's go to that really good bit that we do every week. Mm-hmm. And that because of the way it was all going, we moved down to there. Let's have a look at the real gone kids. I think it's really sad. The veteran cinematographer of Star Wars. Now, anyone like this, would he think this was really all lovey and stupid? But it isn't. Gilbert Taylor. He's the bloke who actually was the main cinematographer for Star Wars, the Omen, Doctor Strangelove, and he's died. He was 99.
That's a really
Why
nice
couldn't
age.
He have made it to 100?
Exactly. He would get a postcard from Queen.
How do you know that? That's really good.
I'm just so clever.
He's quite amazing, actually, you know, because he joined the British film industry in 1929. And he worked at the Gainsborough Studios in London. And he made, I don't know if any of these films will mean anything to you or indeed to anybody else, but he made a film that I really love. It's a really good film called Ice Cold in Alex. He works on A Hard Day's Night with the Beatles and actually made Alfred Hitchcock's Frenzy.
I'm a baby. I don't know any of these films.
Well, here you are. You should know who Roman Polanski is, don't you?
No.
Petra.
I'm a woman.
Roman Polanski is one of the most famous film directors ever. He's still alive. And he comes from Central Europe.
And?
Yeah. And
Does he know about me? I'm from Central Europe.
I bet he does.
Oh, yeah.
All right, yeah, you get the knock on your door. Yeah, anyway, yeah, he's got... And he made Repulsion with him and Cul-de-sac. Right, anyway, I can see you're really impressed with that.
Mm-hmm, let's move.
Well, here's one that's going to really impress you then. But ladies and gentlemen, all those people who listen on the radio in the UK to Postcard from Poprad, you all know who I'm talking about. Mike Winters. Mike Winters? Oh, Mike Winters has died! Don't you snigger. Should I explain to you who Mike Winters was then?
Yeah, who was he?
Mike Winters, right. Have you heard of Morecambe and Wise?
No.
Oh, for God's sake, woman. Morecambe and Wise were the funniest double act that Britain ever came across. Whoever created it, they were the funniest people in the world for a long, long time. For 3 decades, they ruled the world with their double act humour. And Mike and Bernie Winters, that was the bloke who's died and his brother Bernie, right? They were the great pretenders to Morecambe and Wise's throne. And I've got to say, they were crap. Did you just turn me off then?
No.
You turned me off because I said that C word, didn't you?
No.
They were terrible. They were the most unfunny, funny men I've ever met in my life. Well, not exactly, I've met unfunnier ones. But they were terrible. And they rose on the coat strings, or whatever that phrase is, of Morecambe and Wise. And they did shows like Sunday Night at the London Palladium. Anyway, it's just sad. You know, one of the funniest things they ever did, they thought it was funny. I don't think it was funny. They had a dog. They made a big dog part of their accent. They called it Schnorbits. That was a joke, and that was part of the joke, and that joke lasted all throughout the career. Then when Mike and Bernie Winters fell out, Schnorbits went with Michael, I think, and that's it. Anyway, he's died, he's 82.
Okay.
Right, I'll move on from that one, seeing you're bored with that one as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's
so
one
move
for you.
From 82 to number one, yeah?
Yeah, we'll go from, yeah, oh, I see, this interests you, does it? Is this you, who you see yourself as? Is this who you'd like to be?
No.
It is. That's, I bet you got a big pointy bra at home, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. Mind your eyes. And it says only don't touch.
Yeah, because it's look. Spiky.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you can look.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're a material girl. Petra's a material girl. The world's about, yeah. Anyway, this story says that, right, Madonna, her of the big pointy biffers, right, is the world's top earning celebrity, which is amazing. Madonna, what's she done in the last 5 years? What's she done? All she's is a bit of gristle and string, right? And she's now trumped Oprah Winfrey and Steven Spielberg. She made an estimated, right, £80 million last year.
Nice.
Would you like to make that sort of money?
I can do without the zero at the end.
What, you just have the eight?
Yeah.
You'd have £8. I could give you £8.
Oh, shut up, you.
Yeah, that's incredible, isn't it? That director Steven Spielberg, who's actually quite contributed to the world in some ways by turning out probably some of the best films ever made.
I know him.
and Madonna earns more than he does. Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm. She still gets profits from all the songs they play.
Well, this is a lot of it has actually come from perfume brands, fashion brands, and things like that. The other people on the list, Lady Gaga, her of the whatever you call it that she had on when she was in trouble for wearing dead
meat.
Oh,
you mean a bacon thing?
Exactly, yeah, yeah. The woman with the dead meat. Yeah, she's at number 10 on the list.
Well, when she's same age as Madonna, she might be number one then.
Well, does she deserve it? Look at, like, Shades of Grey, the author of Shades of Grey, L. James. Surely Shades of Grey, everybody must admit now, is the worst book that was ever written and ever perpetrated on this world. And she's up there. She's up there in third place. That's incredible. Shades of Grey author, L. James, the most inarticulate, sordid bit of semi-pornography ever put down on paper.
You mean you read it?
No, I've only, it's only what people have told me, Petra.
Oh, because you can't read, I know. Oh.
And then Shock Jock, Howard Stern, the American Shock Jock, Howard Stern. He's there at number three with L. James, and so is Simon Cowell. They've heard £61 million. There's a thriller writer, James Patterson. Isn't it funny? Isn't it? I wish Eric was here, you know. Because how many writers are at the top of the tree? James Patterson, who writes thrillers, has a £58 million. That's a lot of
dog, isn't it? I'm listening what's playing behind you.
I was at exactly that's what I was listening to. What's that? I have no idea what it is.
Well, it says move on.
It does sound nice, doesn't it? Should we just listen to that till the end of the show?
No. I like to listen to your voice.
I like to listen to my own voice as well. A lot of people tell me that. Right, let's do Miley Smiley Cyrus problem. I mean, Miley, well, I can't even say it now. Miley Cyrus's risque performance at the MTV V&A Awards. Have you seen it?
No.
Get lost, you have. You're just making it awkward for me.
Of course. I never make it easy for anybody.
Do you think that was a shocking performance, as everybody says?
Don't know.
Petra. we're going to have a little bit of a row here. Ladies and gentlemen, she knows exactly what I'm talking about. She just doesn't want to say anything. Miley Cyrus, who I don't really think is one of the world's greatest performers, but she's transformed herself from being sort of vaguely a daddy's girl sort of figure, her father's Billy Joe Cyrus, a country singer, and she's transformed herself into this sort of vampish sex mad goddess who gave a performance which people across the world seem to think was incredibly shocking. It involves sticking her tongue out, sticking her in England we say derriere, dear. Her derriere in the air, and doing all sorts of things with a big hand made out of polystyrene, very much like Kenny Everett, a very famous DJ in the UK, used to do, and that band The Flaming Lips still do today. She actually had the temerity to get a big polystyrene hand out and play with it in front of the audience. I think it's pretty low. I don't think what she did was wonderful. I don't think it was particularly charming. I don't think it was particularly sexy. But I think that the backlash that she's faced because of it is just amazing.
How old is she now?
I don't really know. She's in her 20s, isn't she? She ain't very old. But you see this female fashion finder, it's a magazine over here, says that Miley's continued her reign as hip-hop rude gal fashion queen in a shoot for a new issue of London-based hipster magazine. Well, that's what she's about, isn't she? Surely she's just following in the footsteps of Cher. Mm-hmm. And people like that. Is there anything really shocking about a young woman acting in a sort of flagrant way, flaunting herself for an audience? Do you think that's wrong, Petra?
I don't know. I think she's just trying. She's not being herself. She's just copying.
I think that's fair. I think you're quite right. She is actually just copying what's gone before. And it's like, but the furore against her has been incredible. But I don't think it's done her any harm. I don't think she's going to lose any record sales because of it. I don't think she'll be not invited to do any theatre performances. I was very careful to put theatre in there at that point.
You know, the bad publicity is the best one.
Well, it can be. It certainly can be. It can certainly, because it makes a lot more controversy than saying how lovely she is and what a lovely girl she is. That really ain't going to enhance your career, is it? That's really not going to enhance your career. She's a lovely girl. That's the one that everybody wants to see. Yeah. One last one coming up, Petra, because we're near the end of the show. Right.
You mean you're going to shut up?
I'm going to shut up. Men are sexier than women. That's true. That's true. That's a proper thing. That's
okay, but doesn't include you.
I'm not a woman.
But you are a man.
Men have more sexual feelings and stronger sexual impulses than women can ever even dream of. So stick that in your pipe and smoke it.
I will do. It's not that I agree with it, but okay.
Yeah. It's an American report for Pacific Standard magazine, right, who actually say that 70% of men and have a higher sex drive than women. And I think that is the point where we should finish this show and say thank you, Petra, for coming along and joining in. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Radio Tatras International gets on your wavelength. www.rti.fm